Our scripture today continues from Psalm 66. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings, with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear the Lord. And I will tell what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me.
In 1854, the story is told that 7-year-old Thomas Edison came home from his one-room schoolhouse, handing his mother a note. He said that his teacher had given him this paper and told him that only his mother was to read it. So Thomas asked his mother, "What does it say?" And her eyes filled with tears as she read the letter out loud to her child. She said, "Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have enough teachers to train him. Please teach him yourself at home." So his mother did just that until she became ill and died. Well, many years later, as Edison was going through some of his mother's things, he again found this folded letter that his teacher had written. And the message that he read on the letter was this: "Your son is mentally deficient. We cannot let him attend our school anymore. He is expelled." We all know the truth of this story, for Edison became one of the greatest inventors of our century. And after finding this note saved by his mother, he wrote in his diary, "Thomas A. Edison was a mentally deficient child whose mother turned him into the genius of the century." We all have a story. And whether or not we are gifted with superior brain power or amazing athletic ability or creativity plus, or we struggle, the psalmist invites the congregation to pay attention to the story he has to tell. And I invite you now to turn to Psalm 66 in a Bible or on your phone or your iPad, whatever is easiest for you. To find Psalm 66, it might be around page 528 in the Bible, or just listen as you're able. First, in verse 5, the psalmist invites us to come and see what God has done. It's helpful to look at the previous Psalm, 65, at the end, because it ends, you see, with this planet Earth with blue skies and grain fields and green pastures, flocks of cattle. It's like it's singing. You know the song, "The Hills Are Alive." And with Psalm 66 then continues this earth theme, but it now addresses the habitats of this beautiful blue planet, all of them. Let's read these first four verses again. And I'd like you to join in when we come to the words, all the earth, okay? So we start at the beginning. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to your God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praise to you, sing praises to your name. You see, the psalmist invites all citizens of the planet to praise God. God's people respond to this invitation with joy. And God's enemies cringe, it says, in fear. And in both cases, the human inhabitants of the earth recognize this awesomeness of God. And now let us turn to verses 5 to 12. Here it says, come and see what God has done. And you say, he is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed, can you join me? They passed through the river on foot. And there we rejoiced in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. You see, after this general declaration of the awesomeness of God, recognized by all these children of Adam, or that is mortals, as the NRSV says, the psalmist gives a specific example of what God has done for Israel. Here he refers to the Exodus, this crossing of the river Jordan. And since both of these events are very well known to the congregation, the psalmist only alludes to both these stories. And the difficulties of the time of the Exodus and the testing in the wilderness are recalled in the verses following. But in the bottom line on verse 12, the psalmist says, you have brought us out to a spacious place. Psalm 66 is not just a feel-good psalm. There's much acknowledgement that life has so many perils. For we all have our stories. And in verse 9, the words are this, bless, O God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. Now, biblical scholars remark that the reference to slip may serve as a metaphor for a death-like experience, not like I slipped on the stairs. But since the Hebrew verb for slip in the NRSV derives from a root that depicts something that totters due to insecurity, the psalmist may also deliberate on the threat of instability and appreciate God who keeps the faithful firm. In the midst of a perilous journey of life, the psalmist affirms that God has been there, God has kept us among the living. Now we know that certainly life is invariably accompanied by many dangers, and history is painfully familiar with oppression and hardships. But the end of life and history is going to be not death, but life. So we can be jubilant with all the earth. And next, the psalmist makes it personal. There is this invitation. In the beginning, we have come and see, and in verse 16, it's come and hear. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. The story is a simple one, told in the barest outline. It is evident there has been struggles and disappointments. It is a story told. Today, we come to tell several stories, to tell what God has done in the midst of our congregation, as well as for several individuals with whom we share in worship and work together. We seek to tell the truth and do it with great love and thanksgiving. So I will tell today of the dedicated and ongoing commitment, the work of our Sunday school teachers and Christian ed team during this past year. In your bulletin is a blue insert which lists the names of 40 persons who have shared their time and willingness to help others to learn and discover and dig into stories of scripture and life and challenge. And so if you are one of those teachers and are here this morning, would you stand right now? You don't all have to do it at once. No. Yeah. All right. And listen to this. I will tell of hearing how one three-year-old boy loved learning the stories of Moses during his Sunday school class time, and he wanted to take his Exodus stamp snack home with him while he shared the story with his mom and dad. And I will tell of hearing singing every Sunday morning as our young people gather with Henry in the gathering space, songs of Bible and story and joy and great rhythm. And I will tell of the ways in which our middle school students challenged our whole congregation to act with peace and justice to share more with our local food bank. And I will tell of the challenge of the Sojourners class have felt if they've dug into the realities of race relations and the ways in which they now tell the story to us today. And many of you have your stories to tell. It's also a story to tell that say that 40 persons have served in Sunday school leadership for an average attendance of 34. How might we tell that story? How does God call us to reflect on those realities? I will tell that every time I spend time as a teacher and a leader, I learn more about God, about Jesus' ways. And I will tell of the ways in which I am personally challenged to know that Jesus is my rock. Thank you, teachers and leaders, tellers of the stories. And we hope that many of you will come downstairs, receive a gift from the Lidstons for all of our Sunday school teachers. You may be seated. Thank you. And I will tell of the joy of watching and being part of our young people's lives. I will tell of how I've been able to enjoy some of their journeys of faith. And I will tell them of their faith community, which will keep them in prayer and be here as they move from this significant juncture in their lives. I will want to continue to tell them that Jesus is a rock in a weary land. So now I invite our graduates, Stone Church grads, forward, Leah and Eddie and Madison, along with Meg and Logan and Dan. Will you come forward? The message conveys the end of Psalm 66 like this. All believers, come here and listen. Let me tell you what God did for me. I called out to him with my mouth. My tongue shaped the sounds of music. This morning, today, and I pray in the days ahead, we will all call out to God. And we will tell of our struggles and our joys, the ways in which we know how God's Spirit moves among us. And we can also share and ponder our doubts. I will tell you that I have no doubt that the Spirit of God will continue to move in the midst of Stone Church, in all the homes and the places where God's praises are sung. Move in our midst, O Spirit of God, for that is our story. This is our prayer. We will not cease to sing our song.
In Psalm 66, verse 13, we've heard these words. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. Psalm 66 presents sacrifice as a way to make faith live. Of course, we no longer make the kind of sacrifices described here, but we are challenged to give a tithe and offering. This ritual again reminds us that lived faith, public faith, is never only personal or private. And it's a reminder that ritual can remind us of how we ought to live when we don't feel like living. The psalmist's example sets before us the importance of formal expressions of gratitude in response to God's grace. We give our offerings to express our thanksgiving for what God has done. They are not responses to a particular service of worship or to a church's program. Yet by regular giving of our finances, we are thus reminded that all of life is to be given in response to God. Ubi caritas et amor. In love and charity, may you offer your gifts this morning.
And let us join together in the bulletin for our responsive benediction. Go from this place, speaking of what God has done. We will remind everyone that despite everything, God loves us. Go from this place singing of what God is doing. We will rejoice that God has not left us orphaned, but makes us one with everyone around us. Go from this place imagining what God will do. Ooh.